NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma.
And I'm Darian Woods. Today, we hit a grave milestone for the U.S. 1 million recorded deaths from COVID-19. That's 1 in 330 Americans recorded as dead from the disease. It's a really hard number to wrap your head around.
And all through the pandemic, there have been a group of people who have basically been stuck to their laptops trying to help us make sense of these numbers. Data people.
Yeah, like the Johns Hopkins tracker, which has the numbers that NPR follows.
There were also models and forecasts coming out of places like the University of Washington. But out of all these websites and charts, one of the first was built with a specific question in mind. After the terrifying images from Wuhan, will my country be next?
And the chart that I was refreshing every single day was made by the British newspaper The Financial Times. This chart had the classic FT salmon-coloured background, and it showed these colourful lines rising and rising. It was how many COVID cases various countries had.
Today on the show, an interview with its author, one of the best COVID data journalists in the business. We sit down with John Byrne Murdoch from the Financial Times, and we learn how he creates such compelling charts to cut through these confusing times, and what lessons we can all learn about how to communicate fast-moving numbers.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Data IQ, the AI platform that connects data and doers through everyday AI, helping leading organizations turn complex data into business impact at dataiku.com.
In March 2020, we really didn't know a lot about the new coronavirus. We didn't know why some countries like Italy and Iran were ravaged by COVID deaths. But there were other countries like Japan and South Korea, which seemed to be able to contain the disease. It was hard to tell what was going to happen next.
Yeah, they were really scary months. And around that time, a data journalist with the Financial Times, John Byrne Murdoch, got an email.
The big question from everyone west of Italy, essentially, was, are we going to be next? And so a reporter, a colleague of mine actually just sent me an email one day essentially asking that, saying, you know, do we have any data that would allow us to answer that question?
At the time, people were trying to figure out what was happening. If you can remember back, there was chatter invoking cultural factors, like maybe Italian households have more mixed generation families and that was responsible for their high death rates, or maybe the virus will go away in hot weather. We were really grasping at straws.
But John Byrne Murdoch did not want to look at straws. He wanted to look at the data. But then again, a chart just like plotting COVID cases in a given country over time, that was not terribly insightful.
You would see a line that gets steeper and steeper and steeper and steeper. And, you know, it could sort of almost become vertical if things continued indefinitely.
It's got to shoot up like a rocket anytime soon.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's where one of my favorite mathematics tricks comes in. The logarithmic scale, or the log for short, which essentially just squashes out that exponential curve so that you can see subtle changes in the spread of the virus more easily.
And aside from scaling the charts in an easy-to-read way, John also thought long and hard about how charts were titled.
What should the headline be? What we try to do at the FT in terms of how we use text in our charts is to say, this is something you can read. This is for you. Here's the key message. And now that you've seen that, here's what that looks like in a chart.
So the charts would be written in this conversational way, like a chart title might even be a sentence, like Italy and Spain's daily death tolls are falling. In the UK and US, daily deaths may be plateauing. But even though John published a well-thought-out chart updated daily with a clear title, there would still be people with a lot of questions. So John set up a specific email address for people with questions about the COVID charts.
There would be so many questions, hundreds, thousands of questions from people wanting a little bit of clarification or wanting to know what was happening in their country or how to interpret something. People with feedback on the charts, pointing us to data sets that we weren't aware of, that kind of thing. So I think just we can all learn from that idea of really seeing a story as just part of an ongoing communication rather than something we just sort of broadcast out and then walk off from.
Your output during 2020 especially was just phenomenal. And I was a little bit concerned about your sleep. So how many hours of sleep were you getting around that time?
Another good question. I think I was doing okay. But you know, it would eat into the evenings. And yeah, that was the sort of rhythm of the first couple of months. And then as more and more other organizations started doing some of that heavy aggregation work, places like Johns Hopkins University, like Our World in Data, there were increasingly ways that we could sort of automate some of our data collection and visualization process.
With those charts automated more, John had time to hopefully sleep, but also time to answer new questions. Like by April 2020, how many people were really dying from COVID?
We had a reporter for the Financial Times file a story from Ecuador talking about the numbers of coffins piling up on the streets and vultures circling overhead. And this was at a time when the reported numbers of COVID deaths from Ecuador were in the single or double figures. And it was clear that for whatever reason, the reported numbers weren't capturing the full extent. And fundamentally, in almost all cases, what was happening was the testing infrastructure in a lot of countries was only capturing a tiny percentage of the people who had been infected. And indeed, we found, particularly in some of those Latin American countries, the number of people who had died in those early months relative to what you would expect in a normal year, that excess, that gap between the observed and the expected, completely dwarfed the numbers that had been reported.
This is a concept known as excess mortality, which we have seen nearly everywhere.
So it was just very clear that because of the inability to test everyone, this concept of excess mortality was going to be a critical statistic to use to make sure we could get as close as possible to a sort of apples-to-apples comparison of death rates across the world.
We're around a million deaths in the US recorded as having died of COVID. What do you think the real number is?
In the Financial Times excess mortality statistics, we have the US at around 1.2 million as of the start of April. So that would suggest somewhere in the region of a 20% undercount.
So why do you think there's roughly a 20% undercount in the US?
I think a lot of this comes back to the fact that not everyone was being tested in the early parts of the pandemic, and therefore you could have had thousands of deaths taking place where that person hadn't had a positive test. Therefore, they don't appear as a official COVID death, but they very much are someone who wouldn't have died had there not been a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh, it's sobering statistics. I mean, there is the saying that one death is a tragedy and a million deaths is a statistic. And do you at all feel that way?
I do think it can be a bit numbing. So I think, yeah, it's something we should always be aware of and really try and draw out what really matters at any given time rather than just assuming a big number will do it.
There are new variants coming all the time, it seems. And we know, unfortunately, this is probably not going to be the last pandemic. What kind of changes or what would really help you policy-wise in the US to kind of help you with your numbers in the future?
I would love to have one day some system where the way this stuff was reported was standardized.
Across all the different states.
Exactly. Or even, you know, even beyond that, even internationally. Because, you know, if we look at how countries report economic data, for example, in Europe, it's all standardized to a sufficient degree that it can then be collated and cleaned and compared like for like. And, you know, it would be amazing if a model like that could be applied to things like infectious disease surveillance.
Stepping back, how important do you think the numbers have been in saving lives over the last couple of years?
I think anyone would struggle to put a hard number on that. It's the combination of policy and the media and individual behavior and what the virus itself is doing that causes case numbers to rise and fall. I think charts clearly do matter, clearly do cut through and have an impact, but they're just one small part of this sort of much broader societal approach and sort of take almost on the virus at any given time.
Thank you, John, for joining The Indicator.
Thanks very much.
This show was produced by Jamila Huxtable with engineering from Gilly Moon. Corey Bridges fact-checked the show. Viet Le is our senior producer. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.